Come on. Yeah. Funky Friday. Yeah, you do. Good morning and welcome to Friday. Hope you have an outstanding day and a great weekend. This is the report from the police in Indiana. We have been trained that if there's an active threat, we go in, we don't pause, we don't take time to try to figure out what's going on. We go in and go where the shots are being fired, and we neutralize the threat, and that's what they did at that Walmart last night. And we only have a report of one injury, not even a death, but one injury. The death is the guy with the gun, the bad guy who was going through the Walmart. The police didn't hesitate. They didn't stand there saying, well, maybe we should just stand down because we have him contained inside of the store. Maybe we should just leave him alone and let him run around. No. The police in Indiana went in, found him in one of the aisleways, shot him and killed him. That's the answer to this, folks. Good morning to you. The vice president, the former vice president, Mike Pence, is going to join me here in the next couple of minutes. But let me just tell you what else is going on real quick here. Joe Biden says he has no regrets over this document thing. There's nothing there, he said. It was just misfiled. Okay, so we know what his defense is going to be. We also know that the White House and the Department of Justice had an agreement behind the scenes to hide this from you, to keep it out of your purview. I'm going to tell you more about that. And remember, I was telling you yesterday that the Secret Service was lying to you. They knew who was in Wilmington, Delaware, but they weren't going to tell you because if you found out, you wouldn't like the information. Well, now, after months and months and months of stonewalling, the Secret Service says, you know, we do have those documents. We do know who was in there. And we're happy to turn that over to Congress, but they're not going to turn over the whole enchilada. I promise you that. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later on as well. But first, I want to go to the Stevens Roofing Newsmaker Hotline. Of course, he was a great congressman, a wonderful statesman there. He became the governor of Indiana and did a fantastic job for the people of Indiana. And then, if not the greatest vice president we've had, he's certainly up there in the top two or three of vice presidents this country has ever had. And he's got a brand new book out, and the name of the book is So Help Me God. He's going to be in town at Cornerstone Church this Sunday night at 6:30. And I'm going to tell you more about that as I visit now with former Vice President Mike Pence. Mr. Vice President, how are you, sir?
I'm well. Trey Ware, thank you so much. Great to be on KTSA Morning News. Thanks for your kind words. And so looking forward to being in San Antonio on Sunday at Cornerstone with Pastor John Hagee, who is a man that I've admired and called a friend for so many years. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. It's an honor to have you here, sir. We visited a couple of years ago. Stuff was going on at the border, and you were coming here, and we talked about that. And I do want to get into the border and some of the other big issues. My audience is, as I was and am, a huge supporter of the Trump-Pence administration. You guys did unbelievable work for the United States by returning the power back to the American people. So I want to just start by saying thank you for all the great work in that 4 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Trey. It was a great honor for me. And in fact, in my book, So Help Me God, I literally, you know, about 60% of the book is about my time in the White House from the time I was added to the national ticket all the way forward. And it has been called the most fulsome defense of the record of the Trump-Pence administration that's in print. And I'm very proud of that. Obviously, the administration did not end well, but up until those ending days, you know, we rebuilt our military, we revived our economy, we secured our border, we appointed conservatives to our courts, and I'm in Washington, D.C. right now for the 50th annual March for Life, but because of the three justices we appointed to the Supreme Court of the United States, this will be the first March for Life since Roe versus Wade was sent to the ash heap of history with the support of those three justices we appointed. And so I think for people who share your enthusiasm for the work of our administration and long to see our country return to those common sense conservative policies that made America stronger and more prosperous, I hope the pages of So Help Me God will be a great, great source of encouragement to them to simply remind them that what we did before all that we accomplished and give us hope that we can do it again.
With all that being said and the great support from my listeners and the people who are listening all across Texas and actually around the country to us right now, they have asked me for an explanation for those final hours and to ask you what was going on that day where, you know, you had staunchly said, I'm not leaving this place. I'm going to stay right here. We have work to do. But more importantly, you and the president got crossways. So can you explain all of that to our audience?
Well, we did, and in the final pages of So Help Me God, I try and walk people through that journey at the end, and not only through the difficult moments on January 6th, but also I write about how in the days that followed that, the president and I sat down. I was very direct with him about my convictions and how, Trey, it may come as a surprise to people, the president and I actually parted amicably. And I recount those moments in the pages of So Help Me God. But in the months following the election, I shared the concern of millions of Americans about irregularities that had happened in states around the country. I fully supported the legal challenges that took place. But as history records, and I write in the book, in the waning days of 2020, there emerged a legal theory propounded by some outside lawyers that gathered around the president that suggested that I had the authority to unilaterally decide which electoral votes would be counted and which would not be counted. No vice president in American history had ever asserted that. In fact, as I said at the Reagan Library last year, and I write in the book, there's probably no idea more un-American than the notion that any one person could decide who would be the American president. I made that clear to the president in the weeks leading up to January 6th. I was determined to simply keep my oath to the Constitution, which provides that that states certify elections, Trey. Whether it's New Mexico, whether it's Arizona, whether it's my home state of Indiana, and all the Congress does under the Constitution is open and count electoral votes. I was tasked as vice president in the Constitution to simply preside over that process of opening and counting the votes. The Bible says he keeps his oath even when it hurts, and I must tell you, I have some familiarity with that, but I made it clear to the president that I believe my duty simply was to, after all the legal challenges had played out, to simply preside over that process, allow the Congress to hear objections, and move forward. But the violence that ensued that day, the clash, the president and I had in the hours and days before that and through that day were, I think deeply regretful to millions of Americans. But at the end of the day, I think a day of tragedy became a triumph of freedom because of the courage of law enforcement. The violence was quelled, the riot was ended, and the elected representatives of the American people reconvened the very same day. And finished our work under the Constitution. I'll always believe that we did our duty that day under the Constitution of the United States, and I'll always be proud of the record of the Trump-Pence administration. And people that want to know more about all of those things can grab a copy of the book and maybe swing by Cornerstone this Sunday and
get
and
it signed.
All about it.
Yeah.
I hope they hear my heart.
Yeah. Was it a free and fair election in your estimation?
Well, I think there were irregularities.
Yeah.
In fact, in the days following the election, the Supreme Court of Wisconsin found that the election had been conducted in a way that was not consistent with Wisconsin state law. There were irregularities in Pennsylvania. But ultimately, Trey, the evidence of widespread fraud that would change the outcome of the election would never come. But I've been very heartened to see states around the country stepping up and embracing election reforms, reaffirming people's confidence in the integrity of our elections. But I think the principle that elections are governed at the state level goes to the very heart of our republic.
Agreed.
And it's one that we need to defend, and so I'll continue to be a voice for election integrity reform around the country.
Okay, one more thing on this, and then I'm going to move on to a couple of other issues and again,
sure,
promote you on Sunday night. But the president was publicly cussing you and was saying that you should not certify and all of that. In those moments when the riot was going on, how aware were you of the president's public comments, and what were the private did you have a private conversation with him at that point, and what was that like?
Well, I didn't speak to the president after I arrived at the Capitol on January 6th. But we spoke that morning. We spoke the night before. He knew where I stood. And as I said in the book, I think the president's tweet that he issued in the midst of the riot was reckless. I think it endangered me and my wife and daughter that were with me and all the people at the Capitol that day. But I think what may surprise people reading this book is that as I recount, when the president and I sat down several days after January 6th at his request, my sense was he was deeply remorseful about what had happened.
Didn't he say to you, if I wouldn't have gone to that, if I just hadn't have gone, did he say that to you?
What the president reflected to me in our first meeting back was back together the Monday after January 6th was, he said, what if we hadn't had the rally?
There you go.
And I think that, you know, there's some liberals in the media that have questioned that. I can tell you that was my experience with him. I sensed he was remorseful about what had occurred. He expressed concern about me and my family and about what had happened.
That's good.
And I told the president, as I'll share it at Cornerstone Church on Sunday night, you know, I encouraged the president to pray. In one of our last conversations, I urged him one more time, reminded him that I was praying for him, and he was dismissive at first. But then, as our meeting came to an end in literally the waning days of the administration, just about 2 years to the day from today, I looked at him as I walked out of the back dining room just off the Oval Office, and I said, I guess we're just going to have to disagree on two things. And he looked up from the table and said, what? And I looked at him, and I referred to our disagreement over my role on January 6th. And then I said, Mr. President, I'm never going to stop praying for you.
Mm.
And he looked up at me and smiled faintly and said, that's right, Mike, don't ever change.
Mm.
And so we parted amicably.
That's great.
You know, in the months that followed, we would speak from time to time. But when the president returned to some of the rhetoric he was using before that fateful day, I just decided it was best that we go our separate ways, and we have. But I must tell you, I hope people read in the pages of So Help Me God, but the foundation, my conviction to uphold my oath in those waning days. But I do hope they also read all the pages before that.
Absolutely.
So they can see that we had an administration that worked every day to keep the promises we made to the American people. And Trey Ware, you were out there on the airwaves advocating for everything that we did. And people all across this great state were out there championing what we did, and I'm incredibly proud of what we were able to accomplish.
Amen.
For the American people, I know we can do it again.
Absolutely. Well, okay, so that leads me to my next question. Has he talked to you about 2024? Is there a chance that the ticket will be reunited, or no chance at all?
That's not a conversation that we've had. I probably haven't talked to the president, frankly, Trey. In more than a year, and I know that he's made an announcement to run. I think running for vice president of the United States twice is probably enough for any American.
Right.
So
yeah,
my wife and I are sorting out where we might serve, how we might participate. We continue to get a lot of encouragement about stepping forward in the 24 election ourselves, but it's something we're giving prayerful consideration too, but for now, it's just an incredible privilege. The reception that our book has gotten around the country over the last several months has been incredibly encouraging to us, and we're just going to continue to pray, continue to listen to the American people, and I promise to keep you posted on our plans.
All right, and you're going to be here on Sunday night signing copies as well as being interviewed with Pastor John Hagee. We need you. We need people like you to come back and lead this country. The radicals in 2 short years have done so much destruction to this country. When you consider what's going on with the border, when you consider losing our energy independence that you guys had established, when you consider $31 trillion in debt, and now they're going to raise the debt ceiling again, and that's putting it on our great-grandchildren, and now you're talking about a document scandal of top-secret documents that's enveloped this administration. We need you and people like you back in power, sir.
Trey, I'm very humbled by that, and I would tell you that I write at the end of the book that one of the things most disappointing to me is just simply seeing so much that we accomplished in the Trump-Pence administration dismantled, whether it was flatlining our military, the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, the crisis at the border that people in New Mexico and on the southern border live with every single day, the worst inflation in 40 years resulted by runaway spending, and of course it seems like a constant assault on our values and our liberties in this country. But I have every confidence that that we're going to get it all back. I know the 2022 election was a disappointment for many people. I was sure hoping to see Mark Ronchetti as your governor in New Mexico, an incredible guy. But I must tell you, I have every confidence that if we hold the banner of our values and our liberties high, the American people are going to rally to our cause, and the best days for New Mexico and America are yet to come.
Last question. As a vice president and top secret documents, what kind of access would you have had, or Joe Biden when he was the preceding vice president, and how easy is it to take those documents off campus and take them to your home or another facility?
Well, I think that, you know, every single day from the time that I was sworn in as vice president, you're presented with documents. You receive a presidential daily brief, and there's a very orderly process for returning those documents to where they belong. But I want to let those investigations, whether it be with President Biden, President Trump, go forward. But the handling classified documents is extremely important. It's important that in the event that they are discovered, that they be returned. At the end of the day, protecting the nation's secrets is and must remain a priority for all of us with the privilege to serve.
Very gracious with your time, sir. So Help Me God is the book, and he'll be at Cornerstone Church on Sunday night. Don't miss it. He's going to have an interview there, a fireside chat with Pastor John Hagee, and then he'll have an opportunity to sign some of those books while he is there. Vice President Mike Pence, sir, thank you as always for your time. I appreciate you being here.
Trey Ware, thanks for having me on KTSA Morning News. It's great to be back with you.
God bless you, sir. Have a great day. All right, it's 6:24. Quick break. Coming right back. Trey Ware, KTSA.
When you want the best, when you want a metal roof,